number one.
Nehemiah chapter number one. We're going to go right along with it.
I guess the salt brother, God gave brothers Lance. Hey, man, I want the same theme. I guess it is. Maybe not the same individual he made mention of, but the same theme. And like it's been like that for the last several weeks. You said, preacher, why is that? That's something you ought to take up the Lord. Amen. Maybe God's dealing with somebody here. Amen. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's my time. Maybe it's our time. Amen. To realize, brother, not where God has put us. What God wants to do through us. And can I say this today? Amen. God didn't save you. God didn't save me. He set us on the church seat every Sunday morning or every Sunday night or every Wednesday night. Go home and do our own thing. And amen. And that's it. That's not what God saved us for. Amen. God saved us for a purpose. And God saved us for a reason. You say, preacher, what is that purpose? What is that reason? Our purpose is to glorify the name of God. Our purpose is to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what God's got a purpose for your life and my life. You say, preacher, where is that? That's between you and the Lord. God, only God knows that. And I want to look upon this passage of Scripture, very familiar passage of Scripture. Nehemiah chapter 1, reading the entire chapter, just 11 verses. Share just a quick thought the Lord have to share with you today. The Bible says this, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan in the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the province, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of captivity and the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned a certain day, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and deserve his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive to, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. And we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Excuse me. Remember, I beseech thee, the words thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the earth, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Father, I just want to praise you. Now I want to thank you and uplift you and glorify you for who you are, what you've done. God, help us to be able to take this passage of Scripture. God, and share that you'd have us to share. God, encourage our heart to, Lord, inspire our heart, to challenge our heart, God, to do and be what you'd have us to be. Father, I just want to praise you, uplift you, glorify you. Yes, yes, get out and we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to sort of set the stage here in the context of this Scripture we're talking about. Nehemiah was an individual that God used. Amen. To bring back, be brought back to Jerusalem. He had been born in captivity. Everybody knows the story how that the children of Israel had been allowed to go into captivity for 70 years because of their disobedience, because they had turned their backs on God. Therefore, God allowed the children of Israel to go into captivity for 70 years. But after those 70 years, God said, I will, amen, grant them the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. We find out that God spoke to Cyrus, which was the king of Persia, which was over the land of Jerusalem at that time, Babylon at this time. And God allowed him to let a captive group go back to Jerusalem, having to start rebuilding the temple there in Jerusalem. As they went back there and began to rebuild the temple, amen, the people there in the land about them began to discourage. Amen, that even the king of churches, amen, you'll find that in the book of Ezra, chapter 4, that, amen, they went to the king of churches, which was a ruler, a king over Babylon at the time. Amen, and he said, listen, there's a bunch of chief that's been allowed to go back out of Jerusalem, and amen, what they're fixing to do, it's going to cause problems. So the king of churches, amen, sent out a decree, amen, to put a stop to the building of the temple. Some 57 or some 16, 18 years later, we find a man that God spoke to Haggai. He said, listen, you need to go back and begin to rebuild. Then he spoke again to Nehemiah. Amen. We find out that when he spoke to Nehemiah, this was in the 20th year of the reign of Tertius. The same king that wrote the decree, amen, to stop the building of the temple, was the same king, amen, and Nehemiah was going to have to go before, amen, and request permission to go back and do what the king had stopped. Find out, we see in this passage of Scripture, amen, look what he said in verse number 11. The Bible says here, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. I want you to pay close attention to that verse. Why? You say, preacher, because what God had put in the heart of Nehemiah, Haman was going to bring danger, was going to bring possible death, even to him. And that's why this was the same king, amen, that stopped the building of the temple. This is the same king that God, amen, was going to let Nehemiah to go before and grant a request to go back and start rebuilding the same walls that the king had stopped. And that's why he said, Lord, grant me mercy in the sight of this man. But I want to back up a little bit. I want you to notice, first of all, something about Nehemiah. Maybe preach upon, amen, the thought, a heart to be used of God. A heart that can be used of God. Here we find, first of all, we see the position that Nehemiah was in. Look what it says in verse 11. For I was the king's cupbearer. Amen. I want you to notice his position, first of all. Here, Nehemiah, amen, was in a place of royalty. Nehemiah was in a place of comfort. Nehemiah was in a place of, amen, of ease. Amen. He had everything made. Amen. He had a place to sleep. He had a plenty to eat provided for him by the king. He had all that he needed. Oh, he was in a place of being comfortable. And I say, in the midst of that comfortability, amen, there was something going on, amen, to his people. Amen. God was fixing to get the attention of Nehemiah in the midst of him being comfortable. God was fixing to do something. God was fixing to bring a word to Nehemiah that was stopping him in his track, getting rid of, wait a minute, what am I doing? Where am I at? What's going on? Now we find ourselves, can I hold up my hand and say, oh me? Find myself sitting in the seat, Brother Dwayne, and being comfortable, being blessed by God, having clothes on my feet, I clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, having plenty to eat, amen, preaching on Sunday morning and Sunday night and sometimes Wednesday night, everything going away, amen, got my own, it seems like everything's going good, amen, I'm in my own little world. Sometimes we find ourselves in our own little world, and we need to be looking out across what needs to be done. Why Nehemiah was a king cupbearer. Why Nehemiah was in a place, a position, amen, of being comfortable. How the brethren, how the Jews, amen, the brothers and sisters in Christ, how find themselves in distress. Amen, they were in back in their own homeland. But yet, the walls of the city had been broken down. Amen, the building had started.
found out. Amen. We see his position. Can I say this today? And I want you to know something about the positions we'll notice a little bit later on. It was important. Amen. And it is interesting that God allowed Nehemiah to be where he was at. Preacher, why was that? Had Nehemiah not been a king's cupbearer? Had Nehemiah not been where he was at? Hey, man, can I say, hey, man, God used his position. God used where he was at. Hey, man, God used the influence that he had, brother. Hey, man, and, hey, man, to be able to do what needed to be done. Hey, man, for the people that had been took captive, those that were in Jerusalem rebuilding the wall, God put Nehemiah in a place that can be used of God. Don't never think where you're at in life, amen, by your own doing. Don't ever think, hey, amen, of where you're at. Hey, amen, God's got you in a place. God has you and I in a place in our lives sometimes. Having lived with it, may we realize that the influence we may have for our head, God can use that to be able to help us. Hey, amen, do what God had intended and purposed us to do in our life. We never know. Can I say today, God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a plan for your life. God knows what he's fixing to do. Don't ever think that you are where you are. Hey, man, is it consequential? Hey, man, no reason. God's got a reason for you where you're at, and God can use you right where you're at. Even this little one right here. You say, folks, God's got a purpose. God's got a plan for what he wants to do in your life and my life. And we see that. We see the position he held. But we also see something happen. I would say this. Then Hananiah. Look what it says, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Haggai, came to pass in the month in the 20th year that I was in Shushan in the palace. That Hananiah, one of my brethren came in. He inserted me in the Jews and asked them from the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnants that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. See, one little question even changed Nehemiah's position. One little question changed Nehemiah's purpose. He asked the question, said, what's going on about my brethren? Those that are in Jerusalem, it is a place that Nehemiah had never been. It is a people that he had never met. But yet they were his people. They were his brothers and sisters, according to Jewish relations. But, amen, don't you understand, Nehemiah had been born in captivity. Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem. But Nehemiah had heard so much about it. And inquire about what was going on. And the news he got, amen, shocked him. The news he got, amen, upset his off apple cart. The news he got stopped him in his track and changed, amen, his purpose. You see, he was a king's cupbearer. He had it made. Why should I care? How about some folks over there? Hey, man, a place that I've never been to. Hey, man, people out there. Why should I care about them? But yet God got his attention. I might ask the question, too. Why should I care about those that are lost and on the way to hell? Why should I care about those? Hey, man, over in foreign country. Why should I care about those? Hey, man, that not hurt people I've never met before. Why should I care? God loves them just like he does us. God can use us, amen, to be what God wants us to be for his glory. God got Nehemiah's attention. How can I say today, amen, God was fixing you, Nehemiah, in a place he was at, amen, to do what needed to be done in God's land, in a place of Jerusalem, to rebuild the walls. Notice what he said. The Bible says this. When he heard the news, verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words, did I sit down? In other words, now I want you to understand. Amen. We see that in verse number 11 that I made mention of. Amen. To be a king's cupbearer, honey, you better do your job or it means you're going to die. Amen. If you wasn't busy, amen, serving the king, you wasn't busy doing what the king told you to do. Amen. Even if you went before the king with a sad countenance, you'll see in chapter 2, amen, it meant a danger of being put to death. You see, he was in a precarious position. The Bible said that he sat down. In other words, it stopped him right in his tracks. Can I ask a question? When's the last time God got a hold of our hearts? When's the last time God got our attention? When's the last time that we've been stopped in our tracks? Amen. When God maybe opened up our eyes to see the need, maybe those that's lost and dying and going to hell. Oh, when the last time that God has got our attention, amen, to see the affliction, see the devastation, destruction, amen, the strife in the lives of individuals, amen, that need Jesus. When the last time that God got our attention? When the last time we've been stopped dead in our tracks? Amen. Had to look and say, Lord, what's going on? Lord, you bless me. What am I doing being in this place? Not looking around. Not looking at the other's need. Not looking. Amen. Being observant of what's going on around me. And the need of those that's dying and going to hell. And the need of those that are described and in need. Lord, what am I doing sitting in my house of plenty? Amen. I just soaking up the blessings. Instead of being what you want me to be. Being used in a way that you want me to be used. Brother Lance has been sharing folks that God used, amen, to be able to do what needs to be done. Can I say that God wants to use you? God wants to use me. Sometimes we find ourselves sitting, amen, just in a place of plenty, in a place of protection, amen, in a place of provision like Nehemiah was. But then sometimes God, amen, had to get our attention just like he did Nehemiah. The Bible said he sat down, stopped him in his tracks. He said, I sat down. He said, not only did I sit down, but he said, I began to weep. You see, God broke his heart. God got him in a place of a contrite heart. Amen, of a broken spirit. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, I believe it is, amen, is that God, amen, those that have a contrite heart, God will come near. Amen, when we find ourselves broken and contrite in the eyes of God, amen, that's when God, amen, can come near. That's when God, amen, realizes, wait a minute, I got him right where I want him. Now I can use him. Sometimes we've got to be broken. Sometimes we've got to be humbled. Sometimes we've got to be stopped in the tracks. Amen. Realize, amen, the need of those around us. Amen. That we need to be used by God to touch others' lives, to influence others, to help others. Amen. To be what we need to be. Sometimes we need to be stopped in the tracks. Not only we need to be stopped in the tracks, but we need to shed a few tears. When the last time we've been brokenhearted enough, amen, we feel that a altar with tears. When the last time we've been so brokenhearted, we couldn't do nothing but just weep, maybe over the condition of those that's near hell. Oh, those that are in trouble. Of those that have been blinded by Satan. Of those, amen, they used to be on fire for God, but yet they've been led astray. And they're out there doing, amen, the will and doing other things instead of doing what God told them to do. When the last time, oh, we shed tears over a lost soul. When the last time we shed tears over one that's going astray from the will of God. When the last time, amen, we shed tears of those that need Jesus. The Bible said we see, not only position, we see amen, his perception. It's all good. Of his brethren, he heard the word of the affliction, amen, of the degradation and dangerous curbing that the people there in Jerusalem were in because that the walls were broken down. Then don't you notice what he said? Came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down. And I wept. And I mourned certain days. Amen. Fasted. Here what I want to get to. And prayed. When's the last time, amen, we really poured out our hearts to God on behalf of the condition of those lost? When's the last time we poured out our heart on the condition of those that are in trouble? How do you look around America? You look around our community. How do you see the danger that's, amen, on every corner? You see the degradation. You see the desolation. You see everything that's going on just in the community of Scottsboro, Alabama. I'm not talking about amen, everywhere else in our nation. How can I say today we ought to be broken? We ought to be crying out. Amen, that God will use us. Be a little light in the midst of a dark world. The Bible says we need to let our light shine. Amen. That folks may see, amen, what we do for the glory of God. Give Him credit. Give Him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can I ask today, amen, do we have a heart that God can use us? I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what you're going through. But amen, can I say, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, God can use you. Brother, think of his name here a little bit. Pooh Bear. Battled cancer for 7-8 years. In the midst of that battle, heard him tell me many times, hey, Brother Joe, I'd go over to Atlanta. I went over to the cancer center. The times I went over, and every time I got over there, I'd tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. I'd witness to the nurses. I'd witness to the doctors. How many folks, amen, have been won to Christ because of the testimony of Pooh Bear? How many folks have been won or influenced by him in the midst of him going through the battle with cancer? How many? Amen. And God used him to be alive to an influence. Amen. The position he was in, even through the trauma of life and the storms of life, God can use you. We don't go through things. Amen. Every trial we go through, every storm that we face, can I say God can use us to be an influence on those, amen, that watch us as we go through the storms. Oh, every situation we face for the Dwayne, God can use us to be an influence. And that's the question. Amen. Are we going to be comfortable in our own little world? Amen. As the world goes on by, are we going to realize that God put us in a place to be able to use us for His glory and His honor. Now influence hearts, influence lives, do what needs to be done for the glory of God. Don't you notice? The Bible said this. He got his attention. He got on his knees and began to pray. He said, I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant which I pray before thee now, day and night. Listen to what he said. The children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel which we, notice that word, we. Here Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem. He wasn't among the ones, amen, and disobeyed God, amen, and allowed God to put him in that 7 years, amen, of captivity. He wasn't even alive at the time. Oh, but yet he put himself in the same category, Brother Gerald. He said, we sin, not only my fathers, but I'm just as guilty as they are. Honey, we can say, well, amen, I'm not as bad as this one. I'm not, honey, we're all guilty in the sight of God. We all need a touch from God. We all need to move in our lives. Amen. And wake us up to where we're at and realize what we need to be doing for His glory and His honor. We sin. We come short. And I say today we can point the fingers at everybody else. And when you point that one finger at everybody else, you got three more looking right back at you. Three more looking right back at you. We've all sinned. We're all guilty. Oh, help us. Amen. To be like Nehemiah. Amen. Help God stop us in our tracks. Help us to realize where we're at. The Bible said he began to cry to God, said, God, forgive us. We have sinned. Look what he said in verse 10, verse 11. I'm done. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great hand, thy great power, excuse me, and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. Grant me mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. You see, in chapter 2, he goes in the presence of the king. Amen. And when he goes in the presence of the king, amen, the king notices something different about him. He realizes he's sad. Amen. When you went before the king, you better have a merry countenance. You better have a happy heart. Because in biblical times, if you didn't, that meant death. Amen. You could, the king could pronounce a death sentence on you because you wasn't happy. You didn't come in his countenance merry. King noticed something right offhand. He had a sad countenance. Pure brokenhearted. Amen. You said, preacher, what happened? The same king, amen, that put a stop to the rebuilding of the temple, was the same king some 20 years later, amen, 16, 17, 18 years later, amen, that God allowed Nehemiah, amen, when he heard the news of what was going on, amen, to go into that same king that had the authority to pronounce death upon him. Amen. To go in and request the desire to go back to Jerusalem and start back the rebuilding project that king has stopped. You look at Ezra chapter 4, verse 13, you'll find out when he made that proclamation, he said, amen, let the building stop until you get another decree from me. You see, some 16, 18 years later, amen, God put it upon the heart of Nehemiah, amen, to go before the king, amen, to show forth the purpose that God had put in his heart, to go back to Jerusalem, the place he'd never be, the people he'd never met, and to reveal the world and bring restoration to the house of Israel. Preacher, what happened? God allowed that old heathen king, amen, and grant the petition, amen, of Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem. You see, folks, preacher, why are you saying that? Simply because God gave Nehemiah a heart, a burden, amen, for those that were in trouble, those that were in need, those that needed, amen, a place to be able to have a wall rebuilt one more time. And I say today, God's got, and I got you a place just for sit down and see to come from. Amen. And be satisfied walking. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got a place. God's got a people that God can use each and every one of us. Amen. Those who are in trouble, those that are in need, to share the hope of Christ, share the hope of salvation, share the help, amen, of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Do the wonderful work of salvation. God can use you. See, folks, all we've got to do is, amen, get to that place of brokenness. Amen. Allow God to stop us in our tracks. Whether it be this message, whether it be something else that God has already been dealing with you about, God's trying to get our attention. Help us to realize, look up. Lift up, arise, to the fields are white, already in the harvest. We might see the need of one that needs you. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Touch your own hearts, touch your own lives. God, move upon this place.